Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
When you think about saving for retirement or any other financial goal, you might feel the stress levels rising. It can be frustrating trying to figure it out. How do I get started saving for the future? Or if I have started, how do I stay on track? Don't go it alone. Make the right play by partnering with a team of experts. American Century Investments works to deliver results to help save for college, retirement, or any other ambition you have. Your finances are not business as usual. Make it personal. American Century keeps their head in the game and their eyes on the ball. And for 60 years, their commitment to performance has not wavered. Your investments deserve nothing less. Check them out at AmericanCentury.com.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him on his weekend off, Robbie Earle, going over all things of the Premier League for match week 5. Now, some of the things we're going to talk about on this podcast, we are going to go over the VAR mistakes admitted to by Mike Riley and the head of the Premier League referees. We can talk about Kike Sanchez-Flores homecoming to Watford and their game against Arsenal. Lots to talk about in that particular game. Chelsea's continued excellence with those young players and Frank Lampard starting to really find some form. Liverpool's continued perfect start, Robbie Earle, but we got to start with one of the more memorable games in the Premier League era. I think a Carrow Road in Norwich may be the most memorable, impressive victory that they've seen there in the Premier League era. How did Norwich City, and we'll get on to, of course, on Man City's performance there, but how did Norwich City, with all the injuries that they've got, you know, so many goals conceded, they've only won one game, and yet they found a way to beat Man City. Why and how did Norwich do it?
Why in the house? Really good question, Musty. Is more than anything, they bought into the spirit of the Premier League in that nobody take anything for granted, in that they didn't have a team, that they had two goalkeepers on the bench, that some star players weren't playing, that some players were playing out of position. But guess what? When the whistle blows at Carrow Road, with the place jumping, with the reigning champions on your own place, if you give everything you've got, if you have a tactical setup, if you take chances against the best team in the league, you can win games, Rob. You can win matches. And do you know what I've thought about? And I've seen a couple of scenes and I saw the end of the show today. That this city of Norwich will be buzzing for a week, for a year, month and a year.
Amazing.
Based on what happened for 90 minutes in that afternoon. That is the value. That is the gift that is the Premier League. The whole city will change, Rob, based on 90 minutes of football.
I'll tell you what impressed me, you know, is, and sadly, hardly any teams, I think, have the belief of trying to play, so try and open play against Man City when they're ready to press, which Norwich did, and impressively found ways to beat that press, which I think City players are like, wow, we usually win the ball back in five or 6 seconds, yet they're good enough to play around us. And also without the ball, probably more importantly, that they wanted to roll their sleeves up and engage
and to be
physical and to tackle and to close, not just get behind the ball like many do against City, thinking, well, we're in a good shape here. This is the way to play them. It's not the way to play them. You've got to engage, to ruffle their feathers, and that's what Norwich City done. Apart from, I mean, they've got very good young players that we know about about Norwich City. Buendia in particular. Todd Cantwell.
Oh, what?
I mean, how good are those two young players, by the way?
About $2 million, was it? He was everywhere yesterday, Rob. If he was wearing the blue, light blue shirt, you would have thought it's Kevin De Bruyne. Winning balls, tactically in great positions, breaking play up, driving forward, assisting on goals. Mm. I mean, just a combination of an all-round footballer who understood his role. Yeah. And you're exactly right, Rob, because over the course of the season, I know at times you've sat there when I've been sitting next to you, a bit frustrated with the opposition against Man City, say, they don't really have a go. They're not even having a try.
Really.
They're not. Yeah. And then the other thing that you've said, and let's give you credit on this one, is that when Man City are loose defensively, they give you chances. are teams good enough in the Premier League to take those chances? Norwich were on the day, Rob.
Yeah.
You know, the passing, the incisive first pass when they won possession often took two or three Man City players out of the game.
Yeah, it really did. And Daniel Farker, I can't say how much, how impressed I am that with this young team in this league against City, that he's prepared to play the same way. They have a goal kick, the goalkeeper gets it, taps it to a defender.
Yeah.
And it's like, OK, let's go again, try and play through. They did it so many times, it was brilliant. From Man City's point of view, Robbie Earle, give me your biggest concern, you know, from this game, and even what you've seen in the first 5 weeks now, about how you feel tipping them to win the title?
My biggest worry is Aymeric Laporte is going to be missing for possibly 6 months.
Yeah.
Vincent Kompany is missing for a lifetime.
Mm.
Manchester City have a problem, Robbie Musto.
Yeah, they do.
With a central defensive position. Otamendi, a back four of Walker, Stones, Otamendi and Zinchenko will not win you the title.
Mm.
Right there. Mm. Will not win you the title. There's not enough organisation. There's not enough good decision-making. There's a lack of composure. There's a lack of poise. You see what Virgil van Dijk brings to the rest of the players in the back four.
Yeah.
Stones almost brings the opposite. Otamendi looks a worse player. Oh. He's having to stay in that left-hand side of the centre-back. Doesn't look as comfortable there. Yeah. Obviously, it's natural to Laporte. Rob, Pep Guardiola is going to be tested from this point on until maybe we get to the January end, or if he goes beyond, of getting this team to not only close the gap, but go on the kind of runs we've seen where Man City have won games outstandingly and not been scored upon.
Was there a sense of complacency for Man City, Rob? Because I felt that. I just want to get your sense on that.
Nah.
You know, he didn't pay De Bruyne.
Yeah.
You know, we know the Champions League kicks in this week and they've got Shakhtar, they've got to go to Donetsk
and
Ukraine.
You mean from Pep then? We're going to Norwich and we'll have enough to beat Norwich.
And the body language of the players, Rob. Did they look like they were up for a game? Did they look like when it was tough later in the game that they were ready to roll the sleeves up and find a way to get back in and win it?
I wouldn't label that at them. I think that's kind of, I always think, well, what? Because City don't lose that often. If they do lose, are they not prepared? I don't ever think a Pep team's not prepared. I think they were surprised by the tactics and the quality of the opposition. Whether he doesn't play De Bruyne and
I guess that's going to happen, isn't it? With rotation,
of course.
They've
got Champions League games next week. It's obviously a competition they've got an eye on. So I wouldn't go down the complacency route. I think that would actually get them out off the hook a little bit.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
I think the worry is, Rob, is that, listen, Norwich almost have set a blueprint now. Of this back four, this system...
Yeah, you can press
You can press him, Rob. You can force mistakes. John Stones, over 90 minutes, has very rarely showed us that he won't make one mistake during the game. He's almost turned into Chris Smalling or Phil Jones. Over the course of 90 minutes, he will make one mistake, or he will play an offside that's not, or he won't follow a runner, and it's going to cause the team a problem.
Now, I want to talk about John Stones, Rob, just to finish this game up. Now, I know that Otamendi, I think everybody can agree, he's not great on the ball. He's nowhere near a first-choice centre-back.
He doesn't look that bad when Laporte's there. He doesn't look that bad when Kompany's next to him, Rob.
They'll take responsibility on the ball.
I think he's done okay.
Okay, so you think he's done okay generally?
Mm.
So, John Stones.
Yeah.
Now, the thought was that this guy could be one of the best centre-backs in England.
£60-odd million paid for him from Everton.
Great tools, good height, good pace.
Everything.
Brilliant on the ball, composed, can dribble, can pass.
Sure. Rolls Royce, everybody was telling us.
So, I kind of try to explain on the show, what is it he's lacking? It's up here, obviously. It's between the ears.
Yeah.
And is it decision-making?
He's got everything. He's got everything in place. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the ability.
So why isn't he turning out to be the player that people expect him to be?
He's not a serious defender, Rob. Doesn't hurt him enough when things go wrong. He makes poor decisions. He makes immature decisions. He makes decisions of a player who's played 3 or 4 games and you say, he's going to have to learn that. You don't step up. He's doing those things, Rob, 3 years after Man City have bought him to be the man. He's supposed to be the man that now is the central figure of that defence that everybody else is looking for to take them to another level. He's at the moment the man who's who's getting everybody, what's the word, on edge.
Yeah,
he's coming into the team and he's putting the other players on edge. The offside he played, where he doesn't know that Walker's in front of him, and he's trying to play offside on the, I think it was the second goal.
Yeah, it was second goal. Cantwell goal.
He's an athlete, Rob. Yeah. He can run. Why is he playing offside against a Norwich forward who's never going to run him in a straight race?
It's going to be defining for John Stones' career at Man City over the next few weeks and months, because he's going to play. If he's fit, he's going to play. Unless the manager goes with Fernandinho. Again, finally, does Fernandinho play the next game? Is that what Pep's going to do now? And who does he play with? Is he playing with Otamendi?
Well, a couple of things as we move on, Rob, and it's interesting. I think he'll go with him. I think he'll stay with him. Yep. I think he's got to. The title challenge of Manchester City may just hang on John Stones' shoulder. Quick little thing I also just want to add, Robbie Musto. I know you love your Dayton fact. Earl's been Dayton facting.
Okay.
Since last season, Manchester City have conceded 29 Premier League goals. 55% of them have come from set pieces.
Mm.
The first goal yesterday, Rob, corner kick. I've got a list of corner kicks where Manchester City are not picking up on the near post and people score.
I'll give you a bit of data, in fact, to finish up. Five of the last six games in the Premier League last season, an incredibly important, pressured period of time, Aymeric Laporte, Vincent Kompany.
Yeah.
Those two players brought it home. 14 wins, and they were there in the last six games. Five of the last six were there. And that's what they're missing right now, and they're going to miss that for the next 5 or 6 months. Anyway, we'll see how they get on. To the other team, to the team now, they've been perfect. Liverpool. Wow, Liverpool 3, Newcastle United 1. What stood out for you in this one?
Bobby Firmino. Oh, yeah. Bobby, give him a bus, start thinking about stuff. I mean, the whole thing just looks different when he's on the pitch, Rob. Listen, it was a Newcastle team who had a go, who got a goal ahead, who were quite disciplined, who I thought were quite organised and committed to what they were going to do. What this game taught me, Robert, as a top line, is you can't overcome quality. There was a quality gap in the two teams. And the front three from Liverpool are as good as you're going to get anywhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And when they play together, I know Rigi started, got a bit of an injury, that could be a little bit of a blow to them because they're going to need him to fill spaces.
Yeah.
But when that front three play in click, Rob, and I know we'll talk about Arsenal, and I know we'll talk about what that front three can do and get goals, but the front three that can just play like they play, get everything else right, they've got a chance.
They really have, and I think... Remember two seasons ago, Rob? Not last season, then a brilliant season.
Yeah, by the close. Yeah.
But can you remember how great their football was from those front three players? And can you remember last season that we
It was probably better than last season, wasn't it? The season before, it was just frightening. But other elements weren't right, were they? The centre-back position sort of got sorted. The goalkeeper situation wasn't great.
I can kind of see a season where they are brilliant going forward and they're better at the back. So those runner games in the winter of last season when they drew all those games that meant the difference between them and City winning the title, I can see it that they aren't going to do that. They've got match winners. The front three are as durable, by the way, front three players that I've seen. Like, they're never injured. They're never injured. No. They're durable. They're always playing. They always look fit. They never look tired. And that's why... With that form, that chemistry, and Van Dijk, and defensively, and those fullbacks being a little more mature and more experienced and more confident after being European champions, that I think this year they're going to be better. They are going to be better in all sides of the game, and we saw that. There's nothing that's going to stand in their way, almost like winning every game and winning this title.
Defensively, Rob, no Manchester City player defensively would get into Liverpool's team. And I'm almost talking about, would I change Gomez for Stones? Don't think so. Would I change Matic for Stones? Don't think so. These depths, Rob, these positional play that Gomez can go in at right back if Trent starts to have a bit of a time or it comes on top of him or for whatever reason. There's such a strength in depth in defence. The midfield we know and these numbers and players to come back. And that front three, if they continue and, you know, there's people looking out for the Mo and Mane moment. What's that going to happen? Never happen. Let's move on, everybody. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. And Roberto Firmino, Rob. I mean, the touches. I mean, as an all-round player, wow. I mean, When he first came to that football club, there's a lot of Liverpool fans that thought, you know what, Sturridge is a better finisher, get him in the team.
Well, Coutinho was the man, wasn't he, then?
Well, yeah,
you know, I mean, he was like, everything was Coutinho.
But Jurgen Klopp, obviously knew him from before, and like, we got to stick with this guy, he is class. And I think right now, you know, the start of the season, he looks absolutely in top condition. And made the difference with some unbelievable touches for Salah's goal. The little flick there was amazing.
So, outstanding.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when you look at Liverpool right now, Rob, and of course they got European football, which we'll do a podcast on later in the week on Thursday.
Yeah, Napoli.
Napoli away in the Champions League on
Tuesday.
It's not easy. We'll see how they manage again the Premier League and European football. But again, impressive. They go down. Those front three players get excited and do the business. Just a brilliant performance in Liverpool today.
5-point gap, Rob, top of the table. You know, I've always suggested, like, you know, they're in a race with Usain Bolt, and they've got 5 yards on him from the start. You know, Usain's going to come, but listen, Liverpool in good shape.
Chelsea Football Club, Robbie Earl.
Chelsea Football Club.
Really interesting right now. Yeah. Really interesting. Yeah. Now, we know the background. I'm sure our listeners know the background about the manager, Frank Lampard, that's had very little experience. Young players will be trusted because of the transfer ban.
Yeah.
Eden Hazard, one of the best players, if not in the Premier League, in Europe, has left the football club. And I still believe this season they're going to be inconsistent. There's going to be some games that they're going to come on and we're going to say, you know what, it wasn't quite right. Tammy Abraham didn't quite do it. Or they lost away in the second half. They conceded goals. But this was a real shot in the arm, really, in terms of what they can do. The young players continue to progress. And Tammy Abraham,
wow.
I mean, Rob, he's looking like he could be a regular Premier League scorer.
I mean, again, Rob, it's not just the goals he's getting. It's the movement. It's the way he's putting the ball away. It's the 1-2-touch clinical finishing that gives you confidence that this guy can handle it. I'm going to talk a little bit later in the podcast of where I think he sits in terms of this week and what he means to the football club. But I have to admit, Rob, I wasn't sure whether he could handle being the number nine at Chelsea Football Club, where the demands are high, where the stakes are that they want to be top four at least, that they've always challenged for competitions regardless of the state the football club's in. I thought for a young lad, this isn't Didier Drogba, this isn't Diego Costa, this isn't Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who you know guarantee your goals. But this young man has kind of shocked me a little bit, Rob, I have to admit. He shocked me at the quality of his finishing and his movement and his maturity in leading the line for a top six team at such an early stage of his career.
I, whether it's the right thing to do or not, I take a lot of stock when I hear a player talk and seeing his interviews and the press conferences. He was interviewed after the game today. Humble, hardworking. Mm. We know from Frank Lampard that he's one of those guys that's out there a lot, practicing his finishing. He was saying after the game that he was practicing his hold-up play. The third goal he scored with his little kind of snaky move to get past Conor Cody and then stick it in the corner, that had me pop off my glasses, pop them on the desk and think, wow. Yeah. I didn't know he had that in his locker, that ability to beat a player and score a goal for his club from
that
nothing.
Level,
from nothing.
That,
I mean, how good was that?
I mean, and that's what, and then our listeners, that's what you practice on the training ground, Rob. That's when you've got cones and you've got dummies and you've got people playing the ball into, and you do it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, and you just make sure that on a one-on-one, you've got your trick, you know where you're aiming, which corner you're aiming, and you find the back net.
Yeah.
And there'll be tape somewhere in Chelsea's training ground of him doing the very same thing
that
against
the dummy. That little move.
That little stop, move, find the corner. Mm. Stop, move, find the corner. And it becomes repetitive and it becomes habit. And that's what all the best goal scorers do. And right now, this kid's red hot, playing with a real confidence. And it's a testament also to, let's talk about the academy at Chelsea in terms of what they've turned out. We've got Mason Mount, we've got Tomori, we've got Hudson-Odoi coming back, Loftus-Cheek to be added. Christiansen played a part in this. I mean, it's an academy that's taught the players well. I used to always think this of Southampton. Southampton youth players used to get in the first team and they fitted, Rob. They understood the system. You never kind of thought, he isn't quite up to speed. In fairness to the Chelsea players, the young players who've come in have all held their own, if not gone on and exceeded expectation.
Yeah, and we don't often, of course, before this, we haven't seen them come through at Chelsea,
because
they've gone out on loan.
It's been difficult, hasn't it?
But this whole process is like, actually, it's worked. Chelsea have got all these players, they went out on loan, they've improved, like we've seen from Tammy Abraham and others. Mason Mount as well, of course, they come back in and they're ready to play.
England.
Just a quick line before we move on. Frank Lampard, change the system, play three at the back.
Yeah, three at the back.
And the the more we're seeing him, the more we're hearing from him, he looks... You know, again, we're
looks like a Premier League
ninja,
manager, doesn't he?
But he looks like he's enjoying it. It looks like he's obviously making big decisions. There will be some moments that he makes mistakes, but I tell you, he looks the part.
He's a little bit like the players, Robin, that he's going to go into some situations and he's going to make mistakes, and that's going to be part of his learning, and that's what Chelsea are going to have to put up with. Mm. But if they see this project out, as you say, playing different systems. That's work on the training ground. That just doesn't happen, that his team can play two or three different ways and be comfortable. It's a big week as well. I just looked at Chelsea. So, obviously, the Wolves away, Valencia at home in the Champions League, and then they've got Liverpool at home weekend. So, big sort of eight days coming up for them, and we get a little sense of where Chelsea are right now, with lots more improvement to come.
Let's take a breath, and a deep breath. Arsenal Football Club.
I'm going to take a swig of coffee just now. I think I need some caffeine before we go here.
I don't think there's one club over the last year or for a longer period of time that animates us so much as Arsenal Football Club. Yeah, you know, in all respects, from Arsene Wenger to the new manager to the hope to the new some of the signings that look great. And then the next week, you'll see something awful defensively. 2-0 up, Robbie Earle, playing some great football. They went with this diamond system again that didn't work against Liverpool, but worked against Watford in the first 45 minutes because they have more possession, so their system can work over their opponent's system. Ceballos was very good. Ozil was involved, creating goals. I mean, it looked really, really good. Watford were, under the new manager, Kike Sanchez-Flores, looked very passive, didn't engage, looked very trying to be very safe. It didn't work out. Arsenal was so good, and credit to them for that. The second half, of course, it all changed, and I'm sure the majority of our listeners watched it. We certainly reacted to it. I reacted, and I appreciated Lee Dixon's commentary, not just because he's an ex-former Arsenal player, but because he knows what good defending looks like. I mean, of course, Arsenal Football Club. Give me a quick sense of, were we going over the top? Was it just a bad day at the office that most clubs have? Or is there fundamental problems that Unai Emery is not noticing and, more importantly, is not trying to fix?
OK, let's... I know we've got our producer in here and he's talking to us every 5 minutes. Forget him right now. Forget him. Let me paint the scene of Robbie Earle sitting at home with his awesome Wenger pyjamas on. I've gone back, I've gone stubborn and I've gone back to the great man, because it feels like we've gone back to those days.
Yeah.
Let me tell you my overriding thought of watching the game and listening to the analysis after. That Lee Dixon in commentary was more upset about the goals going in than any defender in red for Arsenal Football Club.
Great shout.
That cannot be right. That cannot be right. We saw a shot of Troy Deeney when I think the penalty was for Pereira, and Pereira was taking it. Maybe the shot was that Deeney would have taken the penalty. It took me back to last season, was it? When Troy Deeney came out with quite a famous saying that said, Arsenal have no something or the other. You remember the phrase?
Yes, I do remember it.
Yeah. Again, evidence of that today.
Yeah.
We see a team, Rob, that can do the most difficult thing in the game. I wouldn't say easily, but with some style and on a regular basis, they can find the back of the net. The easiest thing to do is to sort a team, organise a team behind an attacking threat like Arsenal have got. You will win football matches. Unai Emery has not, in the 12, 13, 14 months, proved that he can do that job. To a position where I look at Watford's team and I would take Doucouré of Watford any day above the midfield players of Arsenal Football Club for what he could bring to my team. If Arsenal Football Club had a midfield in a defence of Burnley, Bournemouth or Watford, they would have a chance of being top four. That's my take.
The interviews afterwards, Rob, and I listen so closely, and Unai Emery sometimes is not easy to understand.
No, with the second language and his terminology, his style.
He's improving and he's trying his best to speak, which is marvellous. Yeah. But I understand enough to hear that his philosophy is we wanted to play in the second half the way we played in the first half. We couldn't somehow fight. We couldn't pass between the lines. So he couldn't play through the pressure. And we saw Arsenal, of course, trying to do that a million times from the goalkeeper to play through the pressure. Granit Xhaka came on, Rob, and said that they were scared in the second half.
Scared. He kept saying scared, didn't he?
To get on the ball. But my point is, though, that they tried to do the same things to be successful. And we've been there, Rob, right?
And I've been
on the other side of this. I've been on Watford's side of it against good sides that I'm flat out, energy-wise, to close down the pressure. Less press. All right, so I know it's difficult when a team does that. Home fans behind, euphoria from promotion, new manager, everything else makes it very difficult to play through. Mm. So my point was, do something a little bit different. They're 2-0 up. If it's got to go a little bit longer to
change the tactic, to knock it over my head if I'm pressing,
and then I'm like, oh. Yeah. And then I turn back and maybe I don't press so hard the next time. So change the tactic. That's what concerns me, number one. Yeah. Number two, the shape of the team. I mean, talk about team defending, and a lot of the great managers often talk about being compact. Jose Mourinho is out of a job right now, but he's been on Sky Sports doing punditry, and he's said many times, be compact, tight from back to front. You know, Arsenal is so far away from that was a massive concern. And I don't know whether he's going to change that, Rob. You know, I don't know whether the manager... I don't think he's going to change that. I think he's going to try and get better playing through that pressure of the press and the high energy.
And that's not going to happen, Rob. The amount of goals they've given up, the stats are out there today, the amount of shots that Watford had, 23
in the second half. Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You're just going to press. The word scared, Rob, really stuck with me. And why I was looking, because when little old Wimbledon or Middlesbrough used to go to the Emirates, Highbury at the time, or Old Trafford or Anfield, you were never scared, and you were the underdog. You were the team that weren't going to have to. You weren't scared. You were challenged by what was out there. How can Arsenal Football Club be 2-0 up at half-time, wearing that famous Gunner badge, the red shirt, and be scared of Watford? Something's wrong, Rob. That comes from the dressing room. That comes from the manager. That comes from the culture within. And I talk about culture. Arsenal have got some really good young players amongst this group. Ceballos, who they've got on, Willock.
Joe Willock and stuff,
Nelson, you know, there's some quality players around there. Mm. Who are the good pros around them, Rob? Who are the good pros getting them through things, teaching them good lessons?
Well, David Luiz is an experienced champion. He's a winner, and yet, another penalty given away by him.
Granit Xhaka came out and was honest in fairness, but I don't see him helping anybody out, Rob. I don't see him pulling the team together. Sokratis can just about look after himself.
Yeah.
I mean, where is it? You know, Aubameyang and Ozil are obviously great when we're going forward, but you're not going to see so much. They have no influence on the defensive side. It's a mismatch. It's patchy. It's Arsenal Football Club, Rob, and they are scared in the second half, being 2-0 up in a game.
So much work to do for Arsenal and Unai Emery, and Trush trying to find that right balance. Now, let's move it on, Rob. I mean, we could talk all day about Arsenal at the moment, but let's move it on to the VAR. And just quickly I thought it was important. I think it kind of splits opinion a little bit about whether it's right for Mike Riley, the head of the referees in the UK, to come out and explain the mistakes that were made. I think it was needed. I think it was needed to try and recalibrate a little bit because, of course, we have a great team of people here covering this league and everything we examine. And I think me, you and Kyle were like, wow, this bar is really, really high. If those ones that have been outlined in these four mistakes and a couple of others, by the way, are not clear and obvious, then I don't know what is. So I thought it was important for Mike Riley to say, these were mistakes, everybody, and I know you think it's a crazy high bar.
It's actually not that high.
Mm. So I felt good about it. I still feel that the Martial pullback should have been included to make five mistakes.
Yeah.
The Matip one for Liverpool, I thought was pulled down with Jamal Assouz at Newcastle. But at least...
Yeah,
we're not going crazy, and our software, if you like, is not misaligned to the VARs.
Yeah, we're getting
What was your take on Mike Riley coming out and talking about it?
I liked that Mike Riley came out as head of the Referee Association and obviously overseeing the VAR, and that they're saying we have made, there has been some mistakes. I think it's important that they're not saying we've got everything right and stay with us. I think that's the most important message that came out. I think it's going to take a season, Rob. I think this first season is going to be part of our learning, of their learning, of the clubs. I think next season we'll see the best of it. I think everybody will be more attuned to it. We'll understand things a little better. We'll know what the graphics and the drawings and the things mean. But we've also got to understand, Rob, every now and then, and we talk about the Villa, it was a Villa one, wasn't it, with Jack Grealish went down and that, we're going to have a referee's mistake.
Yeah.
And the game, VAR isn't going to change every referee's mistake. It's going to help us identify things when they're wrong and make more right decisions. But this is human life, you know. Unai Emery's made some mistakes today. David Luiz has made some mistakes today. John Stones has made some mistakes. These are highly paid, top-end professional footballers and managers, the referees are going to make the odd mistake as well.
I think it's important to say that VAR, the south of technology and everything, has been absolutely fine.
Yeah,
it's
just been doing its job, isn't it?
The human interpretation, given the amazing amount of slow motion and angles that we have in the Premier League, and have made basic mistakes. And I think it was actually Rebecca saying today, Rob, it's just concerning that those mistakes were made in the first place. But listen, you're right. Everybody makes mistakes, and hopefully we will see. Have we had one yet, by the way? The VAR said, actually, whoever it is in the middle, Mike Dean or whatever, that's a mistake.
Change of decision. We haven't really, have we?
We haven't. So
And I hope, and my hope with the VAR is that they're not just going to back the referees every time. I hope when there's a situation and they feel strong enough, they say, actually, that's the wrong call. You should have given the penalty, or it wasn't this, or it wasn't that. And we do get to the right decision. But time will tell. We're five games in, Rob, to the Premier League, and already, you know, at least the referees have come out and said we've still got a little bit more learning to do.
A quick scout around the league for other results, Robbie. I'm just going to list them here, and you mentioned ones that you want to talk about. Yeah. Man United 1, Leicester City 0.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit scrappy. Rashford will take it. They wouldn't win that game. Sheffield United 0, Southampton 1. Bournemouth 3, Everton 1. Again, great for Eddie Howe.
Bournemouth 3, Everton 1. Is it a job swap on Eddie Howe to Everton and Marco Silva to Bournemouth? I'm chuck that one out there. Let's see how we go with that.
Brighton won, Burnley nil. Burnley get the late equaliser. Yeah. Oh, heartbreaking for Brighton. Mm. And Spurs. I'll just quickly talk about Spurs, Rob. Spurs 4, Crystal Palace 0. Such a difference.
Got it.
Such a difference.
This beat, Rob,
you know.
We got our Spurs back.
We have.
Our Spurs are back. Vertonghen and Alderweireld at the centre-back.
Yeah.
Danny Rose doing a good job on Zaha. Ericsson playing his football.
Youngmin Son is
the star who's not a star, Rob. Absolute, so important to that team with what he brings and his quality as well. It's not just about running an effort. He's a quality finisher and a big part of what Spurs are going to do. So times and hopefully things starting to look up for Spurs now after what's been a kind of tricky start to the season.
Before we get to underappreciated performance of the week, Rob, I just want to get a last say on Everton. And we just kind of touched on it a little bit there. Another team and manager that some week you think look really, really good, and this is what Everton fans want to see. Then they go backwards on this week. It's Marco Silva reaching a point where the fans, maybe Marcel Brands, the director of football, and the ownership are saying, well, come on then, we've got some decent players here. I need some more consistency. Is that fair, Marco?
Yeah. What are you? What are this team? This is a team we talk about should be challenging, knocking on the door of the top six. We keep on saying it. The size of the football club.
Well, maybe the players aren't that good.
They've spent nearly $300 million, fourth highest amount since 2016, the fourth highest amount in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So there's money there. There's money being spent. Are they buying badly? Are the manager not working with them? Is it one of the things? When I look into a crystal ball, Rob, for Everton Football Club, there's going to be tears. There's going to be tears of joy. Either they're going to jump into that top six, or there's going to be tears of sadness and disappointment. Because I think unless Marco Silva starts to get things better on a more consistent basis, trouble times ahead.
OK, final segment here on the podcast, Rob. Underappreciated performance of the week, something we do every single week, and we just try to pick out something that interests us. And these pods are always full of different emotions. Sometimes negative emotions are strongest, so we get into that a little bit. There was something that happened in the Southampton game that was like, wow, that was great. And underappreciated maybe the correct word for it. Moussa Djenepo, The goal he scored. Now, he's new into the league this year, of course. He's a new winger coming to Southampton Football Club. But what a goal he scored. And what a player he looks. And underappreciated, unknown, might be a little bit better for him right now. But the goal he scored to win that game at Sheffield United was a little bit of class and a little bit of excitement about what's to come from Gennaro, the Southampton Football Club, this season. What about you in terms of underappreciated performance?
Well, again, it might be a title. People say, well, he's not underappreciated. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about Tammy Abraham, Rob, who is the youngest ever Chelsea player to score a hat-trick in the Premier League. It's his first season at Chelsea leading the line. Let's not forget, Rob, that it was just after the start of the season. He missed a penalty in the European Super Cup, got racially abused by fans, some of his own fans, was probably being questioned, is this kid even good enough to be part of the Chelsea squad, never mind the Chelsea team? He's taken that on his back. He's got his head down. As Frank said, he's been in training. He's focused. He's got 7 Premier League goals out of the 11 that the team have got. He's leading the line in a way. And it's not just... It's a mark to his football ability. And I've talked already how he surprised me with some of his quality of finishing. But it's a mark to his strength of character, by the way. Because at 21 years of age, he could have crumbled up. He could have gone into the background and they not see the best of him. He's took it on his chest. He's stood firm. And he's got his goals and he's delivered for Frank and himself. And so I just felt he deserved a mention as my underappreciated performance of the week, mate.
I tell you what, mate, just to wrap up this the show. On a weekend that you kind of thought that the big teams would win games and it might not be that eventful, it's just another indicator of what a great league it is. And you don't always know what happens. We know there's strong teams in the league and there's some weaker ones, but you never know 1 week to the next what you're going to get. And I thought it was great. We'll be back for another show on Thursday with the Europa League and the Champions League first round of games. But I just thought it was a stunning weekend of games in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm watching at home, mate, and you just can't take anything for granted. It was a weekend when 4 of the big 6 won the games. Arsenal drew. They were 2-0 up at half-time. Who'd have thought it'd have been Man City would be the one team to lose at Carrow Road, a result that puts them 5 points now behind Liverpool. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a really interesting Premier League season ahead. And looking forward, remember, we must have just mentioned it on Thursday, we've got our Euro poddy when we'll concentrate on the teams in European action. That's Champions League and Europa League. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for listening. And it's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.